all the time. Amen. That is His nature, and there is nothing we can do about the goodness of God but enjoy it. Amen. Praise God. Such a privilege to be here this morning and to share the Word of God with you. And before we do that, I'm going to just ask us to let's pray together. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you for your anointing, God, your presence that is with us. Father, as we go into your word today, we ask, O Heavenly Father God, that it will perform in our lives that which you have set it to perform. And we thank you because your word is life and light. And so, Lord, we pray, O Heavenly Father, come thy kingdom, be done thy will, as we share in your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to talk a little bit from John 17. I've been doodling a lot on John 17 for the past couple of weeks. It's such a profound scripture. It is where Jesus, if you have your Bible, you can turn to John 17. I'm not going to be reading the entire scripture, I mean the chapter of John 17, but I'm going to be pulling out some pieces that is relevant for the sermon today. And I want to talk a little bit. I felt God really calling us to remind ourselves about who He is. In particular, that He is our Father. You know, God has called us as a church to be one, to be together. And when we look at John 17, we see what that entails, what the work that needs to happen for us to be one as believers. You know, in Israel, back in the Old Testament, they reference Abraham and they reference Moses a lot as their father. But after Abraham and Moses, the word father kind of diminished. You then have the judges, you have the prophets, you have the kings, and even Elijah in the time of the kings declares, he says something. He says, I'm no better than my forefather. You know, you had this running idea that the whole father thing was dying. Not only that, the men of Israel seemed to be failing repeatedly to follow the Heavenly Father. You know, and in the New Testament, Jesus pops up and he begins to talk about his Father. And what didn't he say? He says, love your enemies that you may be sons of the Father. He said, the Father will forgive you your sins if you forgive others. He went on to say that the Father provides, the Father rewards, the Father heals, the Father loves. And he went to the forefront. He just kept talking about the Father. And he seemed to brought the Father back to the forefront of the children of Israel, of God's people. You know, one day the disciples saw the power of prayer in the life of Jesus, and they approached him and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, the first thing that you need to know is how to address God. And he says, address God like this, our Father. It was important that Jesus got the message across that we are the children of God, and God is our Father. Amen? Now let's turn to John 17. And in this chapter, Jesus referenced God as Father six times. Right? I'm going to read from verse 1. There's some things about the Father we need to remember. Verse 1. This was Jesus praying. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So Jesus began to pray, and he was praying for himself. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Jesus was saying here, Father, give me what you have for me, and I will show it to all. And in doing so, I will ensure that others know that what I have comes from you. This is the oneness of the Father and the Son. That when we see the Son, we see the Father. They're not trying to outshine each other. Rather, they're perfectly working together to display each other. Jesus is asking for the Father's glory, to give it right back. This is the same type of relationship the Father is seeking with us. Through his Son, for us to be one with him, we ought to take what the Father has made available to us through his Son by the working of his Spirit, display it to others, and make sure that they know that the things that you are giving comes from the Father. Amen? It comes from our Heavenly Father. In verse 7 of the same chapter, he says, now they know that everything you have given me is from you. So he was talking to God about the disciples. They know without a shadow of a doubt that all the works, all the wonders, all the different things that I've been doing, that everything that I've been doing came from you. They know this. There is no doubt. So Jesus lived with the understanding that everything that he had belongs to the Father. We ought to do the same. You know, for some, this truth will birth a struggle because we like having our names on things, especially good things. Can I get an amen? We walk through life like that sometimes, like, this is mine. Ooh, this is mine. Ooh, and this is mine, right? Like we have this name tag and we just put our names on things to say, oh, this is mine. For others, this is freedom. Because we are carrying things we ought not to. And the fact that you're realizing that it doesn't belong to you can be very freeing. You get to hand it over to the Father. Jesus understood that once he glorifies the Father will glorify him. Amen? So our Heavenly Father is the one that will attach our name to things of everlasting worth. Amen? The Father. Jesus continued in verse 5. And he said, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world exists. I'm going to read that again. He says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. You see, Jesus wants the glory that is in our Heavenly Father's presence. Jesus placed the highest regard in being where the Father is. Being in the Father's presence alone brings him glory. So Jesus longs for the Father. You know, a couple weeks ago, well, recently I should say, a friend was celebrating her husband's birthday. And in attendance to this birthday party was the premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney. Also, there was Erin O'Toole, the Conservative Party leader, I hope I pronounced that right, and Casey Madu, the Minister of Justice. When I saw this, the first thing that came to my mind was like, wow, I did not know these guys were so well connected. I mean, I was trying to connect the dots. I mean, this was a young family. He's a doctor. She has a finance background, but she's been a stay-at-home mom for the past couple of years. And I'm thinking, what am I missing here? You know, the presence of these men at their party made me go like, wow, they are connected. You see, my friends were glorified because of the presence of the premier and minister in their home, just in my view. Think about who Jesus is and what he has done. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, people from everywhere just wanted to be close to him. They wanted to be next to him. And those that couldn't control him wanted to kill him. But people wanted what he had. People wanted what he had. There was always this awe about everything Jesus was doing. He was not asking our Heavenly Father to stick around to collect more accolades from men. No. Jesus wanted to be with the Father. Why? Because in the Father's presence, Jesus is most glorified. In his presence, there is nothing on this earth that was worth more to Jesus than the presence of his Father. And in verse 24 of the same chapter, Jesus prays, Father, hear that word again, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundations of the world. Jesus has prioritized that the highest honor for him is to be in the Father's presence, and has extended to those who believe in him the invitation to experience the Father's presence as well. That is you and me. Praise God. So Jesus desires that we be where he is in the Father's presence and to behold his glory. And as we are with Jesus, beholding the glory of the Son with the Father, it makes me wonder. I'm wondering, those that are looking on, what are they saying? As they look at us in the presence of our Father, with Jesus, or through Jesus, what do you think they will say? Wow. How? They're well connected. They're well connected. They're well connected. I think it is such a privilege to serve this Savior that considers his highest honor the presence of his Father. And he has not withheld that from us, but has opened the door freely, and he says, Father, where I am, that is where I want them to be, that they may experience the glory that you have given me, that they would see it. You know, there's a song that used to go like, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day. You know, he's worthy. He is worthy. As believers, we need to be careful that we do not put an eternal value on temporary things. Place infinite value, please, on eternal things, and temporal value on temporal things. Amen? Jesus wants us to experience what he values the most. And because of the oneness of the Father and Son, we can say that our Heavenly Father as well desires the same thing. Because whatever the Son desires, we know that the Father desires as well. Amen? And so Jesus wants us to know this about the Father. That the Father is the one who will attach our names to everlasting things, to things that are of worth. And the Father's presence, His presence, is the place where Jesus is most glorified, and we ought to prioritize between eternal and temporal. Amen? And then Jesus went on in verse 11b. You know, all the time He's been calling God Father, 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 Father. And then now He introduced to us Holy Father. Jesus invokes in this scripture the moral quality of His Father's holiness. We must understand that the significance of Jesus calling on the holiness, the moral quality or purity or perfection of His Father. We need to get a grip of why He is saying this. Why all of a sudden He's introducing this holy in front of Father. You see, in the Old Testament, God reveals Himself to the writers by different names and qualities He possesses. As a result, people would call God by His name based on the situation they wanted God to handle. And so, because God has revealed Himself as healer, when those are sick, they would say, Jehovah Jireh, come and heal us. Jehovah Rapha, come and heal us. Because He provides, they call Him provider, Jehovah Jireh. Now, if they needed deliverance, they would call on God Almighty. You know, in the Old Testament, it said God's hand is not too short, that it can't save. You know, they'll call upon His arm of strength. When revealed and utilized, God's name always leads to action towards addressing a need that only He can address. Amen? So just like how the Father alone glorifies, there is also a function for His holiness. His holiness does not take away from His fatherhood. Let me just say that. It only enhances it. Jesus asks the Father for three things that needs to happen for us because of His holy character. There's three things that we need to align with. There are three things because God is holy, He will do. And He needs to do concerning us. And Jesus gives us these three things. The first thing, let's look at verse 11b and verse 20. He says, Holy Father, keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. And in verse 20, He went on to say, pray, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us. The first thing Jesus is asking for is to preserve our oneness with the Father and the Son. To preserve our oneness with the Father and the Son. You know, we saw earlier that the Father gives to the Son. The Son shares what the Father gives and ensures that those He shares it with know without a shadow of a doubt that what He has been sharing comes from the Father. In this way, the Son glorifies the Father and the Father glorifies the Son. Now, what does this mean for us to be one? Simply that the Father gives us many things through the Son, making us partakers of His oneness, His kingdom. We must take what is given and then we must share it while ensuring those we share it with know without a shadow of a doubt that what we are sharing with them comes from God. God, our Heavenly Father, through the Son, our Savior. You know, last week, for those that are watching basketball, I'm a basketball fan, so watching the NBA, and the Lakers end up winning the championship, and they give the mic to LeBron James, the four-time NBA championship, the league's reigning MVP. Now, when they give him the mic to speak, LeBron uttered these words. I want my respect. He wanted to be recognized as the GOAT. He wanted the glory of the greatest player of all time to be etched in the minds of men all over. You know, they must die knowing LeBron James is the GOAT. LeBron James is the GOAT. However, the kingdom of God does not support that LeBron mentality. This would be robbing God of his glory. You see, you receive from God. We share it with others only to point them to ourselves. That would be the LeBron James mentality. Point it to ourselves. Look at me. I did this. I did that. It was my strength. It was my education. It was my background. It was my culture. It was my upbringing. It is me and me and me. I did this. It breaks the oneness between God and us. Many believers stop receiving from God because they want to take what is given and make a name for themselves. Jesus says, because our Father is holy, he says, Father, holy Father, keep them from the LeBron James mentality. We need to be receiving, sharing, and glorifying God in the process of oneness. His holiness will not stand for less, because he will not share his glory with no one. So he will not stand for less. What he has given to us, he expects us to share with others and make sure that they know it came from God. Praise God. Our oneness is such a beautiful thing when done the way God has designed it to happen. It's a place where believers from different ethnicities, cultures, socioeconomic background receive from God, share with each other what we have received from God, and at the same time giving glory to God for it all. Can I get an amen? Praise God. The second thing Jesus asks for us to align with the Father's holy character is in verse 15. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So Jesus is saying, hey, for us to live in this world, he wants us to live in this world. And he says, hey, Father, protect them. Protect them from the evil one. The world, the meaning of the world here is the Greek word cosmos. It's not just talking about the place we live, but also a system that opposes God. The holy character of God is not looking to pull us out from the world that opposes him. You know, some of us believers, we are here on earth, but we are already in the sweet by and by. You know that song, in the sweet by and by, you will see Jesus. Yeah. There you go. I remember my grandma used to sing it a lot. Right? We're already in the sweet by and by. We already see ourselves on the beautiful shores. When the world comes with its opposition, we continually keep dodging. We like MC Hammer. I don't know if you guys know or heard of MC Hammer. Can't touch this. That one single hit that came out. Can't touch. The world comes and we're just dodging. We're doing the dance, like do the twist, right? Something like that. All right, constantly dodging. Can't touch this. We're dodging like our life depends on it. Silent and sometimes indifferent. But God wants us. He says, protect them. Don't pull them out. Keep them in. And he said, protect them. Praise God. God wants us to receive, he wants us to share, and he wants us to give him the glory. And there is no in between. Many Christians are running from the church today, or busy chasing people out for whatever reasons. When we do this, we are working against God's plan for oneness. My wife is always telling me, Dunstan, unity doesn't mean uniformity. We need to submit to God and accomplish the work oneness requires. Receive, share, and glorify. Oneness is an eternal perspective. The devil will do all that he can do to change that perspective. If he can get us to value what is temporal over what is eternal, he would get us. If we value life on this side more than eternal life, then he would have taken from us the benefits of our oneness, the oneness God provides. The believer must then choose. We must choose whether we will live this life valuing what is temporal or valuing what is eternal. So Jesus prays. You know, he prays for us. And this is what he asks the Holy Father. Keep them away from the devil and his bag of tricks. Because the Father's plan for the world is us, the church, to be one. And in verse 21, he says, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Our oneness. So guys, we're in this world. A world that opposes God. And God is definitely aware of that. The devil is coming after us. Well, guess what? Jesus knew that. And so he prayed. And despite all that the enemy would try to bring against us, we are one. God has his church to be one. That is his plan. That is his plan and that is his purpose. That the world would see through our oneness and believe in Jesus Christ. Praise God. So when you see that brother and sister that you don't like, oneness. Oneness. It's not about you. We receive. We share. And we glorify the Father. I love Paul in Romans. Although he is proud of the ministry that he's been doing among the Gentiles, he made sure that he layered that Romans 15 in such a way that although he is happy about the work he's doing, he made sure that everyone knew that God did it, that it was God working through him, and he gave all the glory back to the Father. He didn't joke around with that. We shouldn't as well. The third thing he prayed, he asked of our Holy Father, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, it means to be holy as well as to make holy. Jesus has consecrated us through his sacrifice, through his death and resurrection. However, that holy nature needs to be applied to our lives. It needs to be worked out. It needs to be actualized. So when Jesus says, sanctify them, he's referring to the work that needs to be done to make our everyday living holy. Amen? The moral quality of the Father to be the same quality in us. Holiness. According to this scripture, that is the function of the Holy Father and the Word. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus exhibits this strength, the strength of God's word in the face of temptation. When we look at Matthew 4, 1-11, Jesus dealt with temptations that came against him by the devil by saying what? It is written. It is written. The devil came to corrupt the morality, the holiness that God has placed there. But Jesus answered and he dealt with it by the word of God. Sanctification, the process. Sanctification process of the Christian action is the knowing of the word. And when trials and temptation comes, we come out with the word. Amen? Jesus addressed the devil's schemes by saying, it is written. The word cleans us. Amen? You know, as Christians, sometimes we want to go based on how we feel. But we need to find the word of God and see what it says and then do the word of God. Amen? You know, as believers, we are very good at praying. Can I get an amen? We are very good at reading the word. Praise God. What we need to work on a little bit is actualizing what we pray, actualizing in what we read. When we come to a place like this and we're hearing the word of God, how many of us say to each other, I want something here. What can I get from here to practice? What? I'm coming to church today so that I can hear the word and then practice the word. Like when I leave this place today, there's one thing that I'm going to take from this and I'm going to activate it in my life. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to do it. If it's not with my spouse, I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to look at my children and I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm going to go look at my neighbor and I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm going to look at the members of the church of God and I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm going to put myself aside and I'm going to obey. I'm going to put how I feel and I'm going to obey. So I didn't see a lot of whole hands saying, amen, pastor, amen. So that's why I said we need to work on it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, time is running fast. And so I want to say this. The holiness of the Father, Jesus ascribed this moral quality of God, holiness. And he wants us to take full advantage of it. Because God is holy, he will protect the oneness of all believers through the name he has given to us. Amen? And that name is the name of Jesus. Okay? So God will do that. So if you're struggling with oneness, do you know who you can go to? Our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Talk to him about it. He's going to give you what you need. Guaranteed, God will give you what you need for oneness. Jesus prayed to protect the believers who are to live in the world from the evil one. We have the protection of our Heavenly Father from the devil. You know, the Bible says that I have given to you the keys to the kingdom. That whatsoever you bind on this earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on this earth is loose in heaven. God is talking about authority and power here. He's given it to his church, his people. not the I's, but the we's. That whatsoever we come together and bind, it's bound, and loose is loose. God is able to protect us. Okay? So if you feel like you're in danger, you can go to your Heavenly Father and say, Father, protect us. Oh, what a prayer for us as a church this morning. Father, protect us. Protect Grand Valley Christian Center. Protect, Lord, our oneness as well, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then he prays, Jesus, to sanctify our actions in the truth of God's word. So if we're struggling to practice, Jesus has given us the power to do so. Okay? So you're not without help. You are not without hope. You have what you need. We have what we need. And so I just want to encourage you today. Okay? We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And we know it because we see it through His Son. He's given to us everything. And He wants us to be in His presence. Pressed up, the greatest honor that we can have is the presence of God. It is the presence of the mighty God. So He wants us to know that this morning. I believe this. That God wants us to know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves and cares for us. And then the second thing is that our oneness. It costs God so much. It costs, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. It cost Him something. Don't just throw away our oneness. It's not a fickle thing. Don't just throw it away and dash it aside. No, it's precious to our Heavenly Father. And so we must work hard. Ask God, pray, do whatever we need to do. But we need to keep our oneness strong. We need to receive from God. So spend time receiving from God. We need to spend time sharing with one another what God has given to us. Everything that we have, every good thing comes from God. Find time and share it with one another. And then as we share it, make sure that those we share it with know that what you're sharing with them came from your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And the power at work in and through us. Let's rise to our feet. Father, we thank you. Lord, we want to thank you this day for your word, Lord. Just want to take a minute and let's just be in His presence this morning. He is here with us. He is with us. He is with us. He is with us. He is the Father that loves us. The Bible says that we ought to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, if there's anything that you've been carrying, anything that is weight to it that you've been carrying, I want you this morning, anything that is preventing oneness between brothers and sisters in the faith, anything that you've been carrying, I need you to lay it at the cross of Jesus Christ right now because He cares for us. Just take a minute and do that. If you're watching online, please, wherever you find yourself, just take a time, take some time, take a minute and just pray. Lay it at the foot of the cross because our Heavenly Father cares. Father, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Father, move. Father, move by your power. Father, move. Move according to your word that's shared this morning, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We come to you because you're our Father. and you're a good Father. Father, if there's any glory in which you have given to us and we have not returned to you, would you show us now that we may return glory to you, Father? And help us this morning, Lord, to walk, O Heavenly Father God, in oneness. In where, O Heavenly Father, we take from you, share with others, and give you the glory. Help us to scan our lives throughout the week, Father, even as we mingle with others, O God, to see where, O Heavenly Father, we may be falling short in this principle of oneness that you have set in place. And so, Lord, we repent and we ask, O Heavenly Father, for an outpouring of your grace, an outpouring of your power this week, Father, in our lives. And so, Father, as you do your work, may we give you all the glory, all the praise. Lord, we thank you for Grand Valley Christian Center. We thank you for the churches, the church worldwide, Father. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would protect the unity. Protect, O Heavenly Father God, us from the devil. And sanctify your church by your word. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the children of God say, amen, amen and amen. All right, guys, be blessed and see you next week. God bless you.